Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to our sponsor, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and hosting our site, WPCoffeeTalk.com. Now on to our episode. Welcome back to another episode of WP Coffee Talk. Do you know that this is still new enough to me that sometimes I forget the name of my own show? WP Coffee Talk. I don't know why I always want to say, like, welcome back to the news or something stupid like that. But, you know, it's one of those things that sometimes it's still new enough that I'm floored by how many people are supporting me in this. And it's awesome. And I do meet new friends. And it's so funny. You tweeted last week. You're like, I'm so excited. I get to speak this with this woman in WordPress. She's my new friend, Michelle Ames. I'm like, wait a minute, how do I know this guy? I have his new friend.
Because there's so many of us now coming at you, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, like, did I meet him at a WordCamp? How did I meet him?
Yeah, I love it. We're friends. Why not?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Through the magic of Twitter, we have made all kinds of friends, which is awesome.
10 friends.
So I have almost 200, I have over 200 followers in 3 weeks, so I'm not upset about that. That's
pretty cool. It's a good thing. Well, I'm enjoying it. You're doing a great job with this.
Oh, thanks. It's a lot of fun. So I'm excited to have Drew Linsalata. Did I say that right?
All right. Good job.
Thank you. So Drew's here with me tonight. I'm excited to meet my new friend, Drew, on WP Coffee Talk. Drew, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. So I'm Drew. I'm coming to you live from Long Island. So fellow New Yorker like Michelle. And I am the founder and CEO of a company called Helix Interactive. And we are Helix Managed WordPress Hosting. So we are yet another in the long entry of managed hosting providers in the WordPress community. So that is my interest in WordPress. And that's where I'm involved, you know, in the community. That's how I found you. And that's the project we're working on down here.
That's awesome. I took a look at your website. It's really nicely done.
Cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. Yeah. I was impressed. I was like, okay, he's my new friend. I got to know a little bit about him.
We just revised it today. We launched a new version of it today too.
So. Oh, I haven't looked at it that recently.
Oh, you're lagging. That's all right. It was about an hour ago.
Okay. I was in another interview. That's okay. I'll take a look at it afterwards. So sure. I ask everybody, I forgot to ask if you have yours. I ask everybody to have a mug.
I do have a mug. New York Rangers. It's backwards.
New York Rangers. No, it's Rangers.
Yes.
Backwards to you. It's right side for me.
Awesome. Yeah, and, lifelong Rangers fan, grew up with it. I'm waiting
fantastic.
For
fantastic. So Callahan was your
yes, he was a captain here for a while. He's a Rochester guy, isn't he?
He's not only a Rochester guy, he's a Hilton guy right from my hometown.
Oh, no kidding.
I have some autographed pictures of him, his high school picture and his official picture.
yeah, great. I mean, by all accounts, great guy and, you know.
Olympian too.
Yeah.
Olympian, yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Good resume, solid resume right there.
Exactly. And that... And that gentleman is the extent of my knowledge of hockey.
Okay, that's good enough. It's all good.
Brian Callahan, that's it. Anyway, what's in your mug tonight?
Honestly, there's no coffee in my mug. It's water. It's hot and muggy. I've been running around all day and I just grabbed a bunch of water when I got here. And I'm going to drink some now. So there.
It's also 6 o'clock in the evening. So some people can't drink coffee that late.
I have personally, to admit, I'm not a huge coffee drinker. So.
Well, I have my green M&M mug tonight.
Oh,
this is in honor of my friend Andrea. Andy and I, it's a funny story. I'll keep it really short, but we knew each other as children in Massachusetts growing up.
Okay.
And I moved here when I was 10. She moved here when she was in her teens in high school, and we did not know that. We had lost track of each other. Mm-hmm. As adults, we knew each other for 2 years before we realized that we were the same people who grew up together.
No.
Yeah, for sure. And so Andy is a huge M&M's fan, so this is in honor of Andy tonight.
Awesome.
Just because I have the green M&M and I thought of her. So there you go.
There you go.
Yeah, so it's really fun how life does interesting things for us, right?
That's a great story.
It's a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a longer story. It has a lot to do with karaoke, but that's for another time.
Oh, sure. Nobody wants to hear that, though. That's not good for anybody when I sing.
I have a degree in vocal performance, so maybe I'm okay, but...
All right. You can make up for my shortcomings for sure.
But that's not what this podcast is all about.
No, it's not.
So tell me a little bit about how you got started with WordPress.
Sure. Okay. So I have been in the internet business since the mid-90s, the original .com craziness that went on that shortened all of our lives back then. And, you know, we just kind of morphed from an ISP into a hosting company to a colo company back into hosting. And, you know, that happens in this business. And so we were hosting WordPress for quite a long time. And I am not a designer. I know I have enough design skill to be moderately dangerous, but I'm not a designer, an artist, or a developer. So we were hosting a lot of WordPress, and we were solving a lot of WordPress problems for our clients. And then my personal experience with WordPress started. I mentioned I have a podcast in an unrelated field. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I decided, well, let me put together a website for the podcast, you know, sort of in my spare time. And I decided to use WordPress, and I used it on one of our servers with you know, a control panel and a one-click install. And I just, the way I wanted to work with it, I couldn't in that environment, and I got kind of frustrated. And then we started getting more and more WordPress problems to solve from our clients. And it just, one thing led to another. My own experience trying to lock it down to be a little more secure, a little more flexible, I was getting frustrated with that. We had customers who were getting defaced on a regular basis. And it just led, you know, it started the ball rolling, and we started building this thing that would stop those problems from happening to begin with. And here we are. It's been about a 5-year journey. Now I can put together a website. I can put together a WordPress site, and it would be presentable.
That's good.
That's all I will claim. It will be presentable.
Well, you know, I always say, like, the cobbler's children have no shoes.
Yeah.
I had the worst website ever, but I was building beautiful websites for everybody else.
Right.
I just didn't have any time to get back to my own. So sure. I totally understand. Everybody, well, your customers come first.
We have partners here that are designers, and we have a small studio that's attached to us here, and they're awesome, very talented. And their own website for the longest time just lagged and lagged and lagged. Same thing. Customers come first. So yeah, I get
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's all that stay in your lane too, right? So like you do really good at hosting, let me do the designing.
Yeah. And honestly, there's other things that go along with that. Like, I would never compete directly with my customers. That's not okay. And I don't need to. I don't need to be in that business. So it's all good.
Right.
Yeah,
that's good. And they probably trust you more because you're devoted to what you do as opposed to diversified.
That's exactly right. So I think in terms of, you know, my place in the WordPress world, we're not writing plugins. You know, we're not spending a lot of time at WordCamps or contributing in that way. We're starting to get more active because we've spent 2 years building Helix. So now we'd like to start contributing more to the community. But just being an expert in the systems that it runs on has been a good lane to be in.
And
it's paying off for us. So it's good.
I love to hear that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
When you think about websites, because obviously you see dozens and dozens and hundreds and thousands of them.
Yes.
When you look at a website, what to you is something that people don't focus enough attention on? Something that would take a good site, make it better?
I think initial planning is something that almost everybody falls down on. Until we get into the larger projects where there are some more mid-sized companies that are putting much larger sums of money into their websites, most people don't plan it nearly the way they should. And they don't understand all the things that are going to be involved. And therefore, they wind up with feature creep in their site, which means you're kind of like scrambling to find plugins and patches and stuff that sort of might do what the customer wants. And I think that's where people fall down. If they would just plan a little more, they would be able to execute their vision a little bit better, I think more effectively. Mm-hmm. And they'd also have a realistic view of what the project can't be. So I maybe not a popular thing to say on a WordPress-focused podcast, but one of the things we struggle with our clients all the time are people who build WordPress websites that want it to do things that WordPress was just never meant to be. It was just never meant. It was not meant to be a social network. Apologies to BuddyPress, but like, it was never meant to be a Facebook substitute. And we run into problems with that too. So planning would be a better thing.
I've worked with, I've taught classes before, and I worked with somebody who was really interested in building like the next Airbnb. And I said, I'm not sure WordPress is the right place to do that.
Absolutely. We see it in real estate. We have quite a few real estate sites, and there are some decent real estate plugins that do those listings. There's almost nothing that integrates with the big backends like LeaseNet and everything, but yet we still have real estate, reasonably sized metro area commercial real estate companies that insist that they want to list 300 commercial properties in a WordPress site, and they don't understand why that could be problematic.
Yeah.
So again, a little of advanced planning would go a long way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What's something that you wish you knew about WordPress when you started that you've learned since then?
I think I wish I knew just how wide open it is. So I understand the concept of open source, and it's awesome. Like, there would be no internet without open source and the ideals behind it. I really didn't understand how much, especially in the past, I think the past few years, Automattic is doing a really good job of starting to reorganize it and rein it in. But it was a bit of the Wild West, and I wish I had known that. So that means you put your trust in some things that maybe you shouldn't from a business standpoint, and you learn things the hard way. So we're much more critical when we make our selections in terms of plugins and themes and those sort of things than I maybe was 4 or 5 years ago. Like, oh, it's in the repository. It must be good. Yeah, no, not necessarily. So that's the lesson I think I wish I had known way early on.
I teach people how to look at the statistics in the repository.
Yeah.
And make decisions based on what you see there. Oh, it hasn't been updated in 3 years. It probably still works.
Right. Maybe don't use that. And we have the conversation a lot with our clients, especially when you have clients who come here that are moving sites from other places. Mm-hmm. We tell them, we're going to force an update now because you can't host here unless you're running the current version. That's what Helix does. It forces that. And things break and they're like, well, that was okay 5 years ago, but you know,
that's not anymore.
Yeah.
That's
people don't understand. I think the WordPress ecosystem is a living, breathing thing sometimes.
Right. Absolutely. So, yeah, it really is.
Yep.
Absolutely. When you, when you think over, I know you and I talked about, you are going to be going to your first WordCamps ever this year. So that's exciting.
Should be fun.
But you have attended meetups before in your area for sure.
Yep.
So when you think back to your meetup talks and meetup conversations and things like that, what's something that kind of rises to the top as an aha moment, or, you know, like I say, the angels sang, or something that was like pretty cool?
I will tell you, that was probably my best meetup experience was actually last night. So that's
a really
timely question. So there's actually a new group out here on the island that's focused on accessible and inclusive design. So it wasn't WordPress specific, but there's a room full of designers who work in WordPress and Drupal and other CMSs. To me, to see the struggle, now these folks who organize the meetup, they specialize in that and they're doing tremendous work in accessible design and pushing it as far as you can go with current technology. To hear how the users, you know, once somebody logs into that WordPress GUI or Drupal in some cases, how they can just take a sledgehammer to the accessible parts of the design, because WordPress is not meant to be terribly restrictive. It's supposed to let you do almost anything you want to do. So my aha moment was that, I think, to see like, oh, that's right. It's meant to allow somebody to make whatever they want, which is the coolest thing about it, because I dig people who build things. Mm-hmm. But in the same vein, sometimes that openness could be detrimental. So that was interesting last night, and just some great, great work and accessibility happening. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was probably my greatest, like, some WordPress related meetup moment.
I love it.
Yeah.
Before I get to our rapid fire questions, cause we still have a little bit of time. So, so talk to me a little bit about what your customers need to know, or what do you think customers need to know when they're looking at evaluating, hosting? You walk into a meetup and you say, who's everybody's favorite host? And you're going to get 20 different answers.
You are going to get 20 different answers. That's true. You're going to get 20 different answers, and you're going to hear about five companies over and over again. And we all know who they are, and they do a great job. I have no beef with anybody. I think what people need to evaluate primarily when it comes to hosting is, it depends on the customer. You know, there are, while we may be immersed deep in this whole WordPress thing up to our elbows every day, there is a very, very large number of WordPress users that don't even really identify as members of the WordPress community. They're really talented artists or graphic designers, and they are more than happy to have somebody install for them, pick a theme they like, throw some plugins in, and make something beautiful. They don't care about what's under the hood. And so I think you have to pick a host that, and on the other side, we have developers that are extremely sophisticated and they're writing their own themes and they want to do local development and they want to push the limit of what it does. We're not that host, but if you're one of those people, you should go to somebody like maybe Pantheon, who's really developer centric. Mm-hmm. But if you are an artist and you just simply do not care about automatic WordPress updates, why they happen, why you have to do it, you just don't want to know about it, that's a different kind of host. So I think it depends, you know, look at what the host specializes in, because I don't believe that we can be all things to all people. We could try, but I don't believe anybody's good at doing that. So
now, without having, you know, logged into as a user, I just learned about Helix when we became friends last week.
We are brand new. It's okay. No one knows about Helix yet.
And so I might ask some questions that, you know, or hit or miss for you. But so I'm curious, like some of the things, like who I host with right now, I could just go right down on my cPanel. So are you using cPanel?
We do not have a control panel because that's part of the problem.
Okay.
You're a savvier user, so it's different. Yeah. But go ahead, finish the question and I'll...
So I have Let's Encrypt, for example. So I can add the SSL very easily to all of my websites. Do you have something similar to that then?
You don't have to add it. We already do it. So the reason why Helix has no control panel is you don't need one here. Like the platform does all of those things automatically for you already.
Nice.
So, you know, some people get a little nervous, like, where's my cPanel? What, I don't understand. And we do about 20, 30 minutes of onboarding with them, and we teach them how the system works. And then 2 weeks later, they're like, oh, that's right, we don't need a cPanel here. So yeah, we do all of those things. You don't have to do them. We do them.
Oh, that's awesome. Very good.
Yeah, automatic while you're sleeping. So.
While we're sleeping, I love that even better. Do you do staging?
Every Helix hosted site has a development site and a live site. So you can break everything you want without like pissing off the general public. And then we easily promote live to dev or dev to live if you want to, you know, whichever way you want to go.
Right.
So that sometimes is a learning process because a lot of customers don't even remember they have it and they're working in a live site and they break it and, oh, can you guys restore? And yet 90 seconds later, no problem is they're back. But yeah, we do have a development site here.
I was talking to somebody. So we do co-working here in Rochester too. Our meetup, we have a meetup once a month. We also have co-working once a month for a full day. And I was talking to somebody and asking them, we were talking about hosting and they had a problem with their website. And so their subdomain just disappeared, like literally disappeared. Okay. I logged in with them, looked at their hosting and there literally was no files in their subdomain at all, just gone. And so I have friends all over the world. So I tweeted, direct message one of my friends who works for that company. I said, can you help me?
Yeah.
Something's wrong. We got to get this back. You know, they had been told early on, or they misunderstood, that there were no backups, that they only got backed up once a month with this host.
Okay.
Which seemed a little fishy to me because I don't know very many hosts that only back up once a month. How often are you running backups for your customers?
Every night. So we back up dev and live. We store it locally so you can always have your latest backup available to you. And there's up to 60 days in Amazon S3 and Glacier storage. So,
oh, wow. So you can roll back 60 days.
We won't let you not back up. We're going to back you up.
And yet you probably still recommend that they do local backups as well.
We do not want you to do local backup. And I'll tell you why we don't want you to do local backup, because you're going to have to use a plugin to do that, like Backup Buddy, which is a great plugin and probably the most popular one, but it relies on WP cron, which relies on site traffic. And if you're hosting smaller sites, no one's hitting the site at 3 a.m. So the backups don't work. And we've had that multiple times. That's one of the problems several years ago when we started building Helix that we tried to solve. People would say, well, I have Backup Buddy and it hasn't worked for 3 weeks. I'm screwed. Well, we don't need a plugin. We're backing you up at the system level. So we would prefer you not back up. We're going to more than back you up. Yeah.
And through the, I know you don't have control panel, but some kind of interface.
Yeah.
Are they able to restore a backup on their own or do they have to use, they have to chat with you or call you?
Right now they would talk to us, chat with us, email us, call us, whatever they want. We promise a 1 hour response, but probably within the next 2 or 3 months, we will have a rudimentary control panel. There's 4 tasks that you would maybe have to do that we'll let you do on your own.
Okay.
And that's one of them. Backup, restore, or clone sites live to dev, dev to live.
What about email? Do you do email hosting for your customers?
We do not do email hosting. I'll be flat and honest with you. I've spent 20 years doing it. It is the bane of my existence. So we strongly suggest people go to 365 or Google, one of those two.
Yeah, email's great. Hosting email really rots.
No, and really and truly, there are so few people. Look at GoDaddy, who spent 20 years hosting email that now sells Office 365. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%.
We have services where we have affiliated people that will help people set up their email on those services, but I don't host it.
Very good. And you do have one button install then?
There is no button because there's no control panel. So the way this works is if you sign up for Helix and you're moving a site, we'll move the site for you. You don't have to do anything. We'll just do it. Mm-hmm. And then if you want a new site, we will install that for you and it happens at the system level. So we install it with some extra security so that like the web server process can't write to specific files and things of that nature. So it means you have to work slightly differently here. Mm-hmm. But after that 20-minute onboarding, when you teach them what to do, everybody's good to go.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it means nobody can write to functions.php.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
And yet they can still create a child theme?
They can, except they can't work in the theme editor because the theme editor is inherently evil, because then it means the web server process can write to core files.
Right, but they have like a FTP access? Yeah, like
FTP with SSL, so they can do that.
Fantastic. Yep. Awesome, good. Yeah. Sounds like you thought of everything.
Well, we try to think of everything. Some of the things you can't necessarily predict. So we do a lot of extra file permission lockdown and code execution denial. But sometimes you run across a plugin that stores its cache files in its own directory. And if anybody's listening that has control over that, it would be nice if plugins were mandated to store their stuff in one particular directory. I think it would make things safer for everybody. So anyone?
Anyone? Bueller.
Bueller. Exactly. Some plugins make a cache directory. Some plugins make a temp directory. Some plugins store it in their own directory. You don't know. So it's sometimes it's an experiment with a client who brings a plugin maybe we haven't seen before, and we have to adjust our permissions.
Oh, makes sense.
Yeah.
And so what about PHP versions? Are you pushing the newest? Always.
We are. So we're in the PHP 7 train now. We were trying to get to 7.2, and we've about 100 sites in our private beta. And the biggest issue with moving to 7.2 has been a couple of legacy themes and plugins that break. And this is always the biggest challenge is people who buy plugins and themes, which is fine. There's some great products to buy, but they don't get automatically updated, or you haven't paid for the latest and greatest. So we have to give a little time, but we're running 7.1 right now. We're in the 7 train. I'm not sure if we're in 7.1 or 7.0. We'll go to 7.2 probably within the next 2 months. We'll have everybody.
I work for Giv. You can see them over my shoulder.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. we've had the opposite happen sometimes where people are complaining, or I should say people, it's very rare, but we'll have a customer complain that our plugin is breaking their site or it's not working right. Then we find out they're on such an old version of PHP.
Yes.
That they and if they're not willing to update it, there's not a lot we can do because we have to.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's the thing I was talking about before, where one of the things I think people would do really well to learn it or accept is that this is not set it and forget it forever. Like the ecosystem changes and you want it to improve because it does improve. So that's a thing. And by the way, very few plugins break other plugins, just for the record. Some
they don't break, but they can cause
conflicts.
Some.
Yes, it happens, but it's not as common as I think a lot of people think. That seems to be a stock sort of tech support answer. Oh, it's that plugin. It's evil. Well, not that many are that evil. So.
No, they're not evil at all. They just have some conflicting.
That happens too. That can happen. Yeah.
And on occasion, you will upload a plugin and you will get the white screen of death. So understanding how to undo that is very important.
Yes, that's true. The white screen of death is still a thing.
Yes. I can't tell you how many customers I've walked backwards through the white screen
of death. Yeah, exactly. So we do have a rollback procedure that works out pretty well. We may add rollback to that customer-facing panel. But the way our customers kind of rely on us to sort of catch them and have their back, we won't host 100,000 sites here. That's not our aspirations at all. So we can handhold a lot. And so when that happens, we tend to want to go and look to see exactly what happened. This way we know this is what happened when you install that plugin. Give us 5 more minutes, get it out of the way. You're good to go.
So, awesome. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Good customer service. So that sounds like you guys have really kind of thought about the customer and how they would need to interact with you. And I think that's awesome.
Well, we know who our customer is. They're much less technically savvy. They need someone to sort of watch them, and we'll do that. That's fine. I'm good with that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to move into what I call rapid fire. Call them that because there's a whole bunch of them, but you can take the time that you need to answer them.
Sure.
So I know that you're not, I'm not going to say you're anti-plugin because obviously there's plugins. You're not anti-plugin at all.
I'm not anti-plugin at all.
So it's just that there are certain plugins sometimes that aren't necessary, and I agree with that 100%.
Yes.
But when you're if you were to recommend 2 to 3 plugins that you think are, you know, not necessarily must-haves, but really useful plugins for the general public, what would they be?
Gravity Forms is my favorite form plugin. I know there's the holy war between Gravity Forms and Contact Form 7. I'm a Gravity Forms guy. What can I tell you? I like it, and I think most sites are going to use it, so I'm a fan. We're going to make you use the Varnish Purge plugin because we have a transparent caching layer in front, and that will be your friend one day when you can't figure out why this page is not updating. So I think that's a great, great plugin. And if your host is supporting that and offering that, you need to have that. And there's so many other good ones. Aside from those two, I got to say WordFence, even though we have a tremendous amount of security already built in the platform, WordFence is still pretty valuable. I mean, just the data that they gather. So I'm a WordFence fan.
Awesome.
Yeah, just because that tremendous neural net of learning that they've got going on, it gives you a lot of insight into what you should be looking for. So I like WordFence. Yeah, I'm a fan.
That's awesome. Very good.
Yep.
At any point along your WordPress journey, whether it was when you're first getting started or just any point at all, have you had a mentor? And who was that?
I can't say that I've had a mentor. I did not. So
that's okay.
It's a really good
not
question.
Not everybody does.
Yeah, I did not have a WordPress mentor. I'm sorry.
No, that don't apologize. It sounds like you've gotten exactly where you want to be with or without one, so it's all good.
Yeah.
But who's somebody that you admire in the WordPress community and why?
I would have to say, and I've only had very limited contact with him, but the dude that wrote WPCLI, Daniel Buckhuber. I always say his word, his last name wrong. WPCLI is such a great tool. We use it for a lot of different things. And, you know, I can't imagine that he wrote that. Sometimes I'm still amazed at open source, right? I still can't imagine that it's a thing. Really? Hang on. Windows has decided that now is a good time to do this?
Run an update?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Pick a time. Yeah. Way later. How's that? So Daniel wrote WPCLI. It's a great, great tool. He put it out there just in open source with no benefit to him financially. And I really admire that because I think it made a huge contribution for guys like me.
Yeah, that's true. It,
most people, I think, might not even know what it is, but
I'm sure the average user won't know.
No, the average user, maybe your listeners know what it is. Our clients have no idea what that is, nor would they ever care. But for guys, it's very, very convenient.
It's a command line interface. So if you're watching this and you don't know what it is, look it up. It's the command line interface. If you're used to using the dashboard, then you're not using WPCLI.
Exactly. Exactly. And the dashboard is totally fine, but there are some things that are just much easier to do in CLI. So
exactly.
Shout out to Daniel. Great job.
Fantastic. Daniel, you should be on the show. If you're watching, come on the show. We'll get him on the show. Reach out to him.
Okay. I'll let you know. Okay.
What's something that you want to learn in WordPress that you haven't tackled yet?
I don't think it's WordPress specific necessarily. Well, it's WordPress specific. I would love to be able to write a plugin or two. I don't know what they would do yet, but I keep promising myself that I'll learn to do that at some point. But I promise myself I'm going to learn a lot of things. I'm learning Norwegian now just for fun. Oh, so yeah.
Well, okay.
That should be cool. So one day I'll sit down and learn enough to write a plugin that does something moderately useful. I don't know.
There you go. Start with Hello Dolly. Pick another song.
That might work. Sure. People are tired of that song at this point.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. What's the first thing you want to install when you put in WordPress? Hello Dolly.
Hello Dolly. Yeah. Or don't. I can't tell you the number of sites we get that are 3 or 4 years old. Hello Dolly is still hanging out.
Hello Dolly. Yep. And Howdy. Howdy. Yeah. It's always just Howdy.
There when just for like old time's sake.
There you go. It's nostalgic at this point.
Right. Exactly. Come on. It's been there that long.
What's one of the biggest WordPress mistakes you've made, and what did you learn from it?
Okay. The biggest, now I come at it from a hosting guy, right? So the biggest WordPress mistake I think I made on the hosting side, which is primarily my hosting, my WordPress experience, was putting a lot of customers in a traditional hosting environment where we did have a control panel and they installed multiple sites inside their account. And when one would get defaced, some guys are smart enough to inject some stuff that just walks up the tree and into the next site. And when we get defaced, they'd all get defaced. So I did not take the time to learn enough about the vulnerabilities that my customers faced. And it happened to a bunch of them. So that is the biggest mistake that I made. And it was one of the catalysts for where we are now. So
that is also one of the biggest mistakes I made, is I put too many customers in my shared hosting space. Mm-hmm. And instead of one site getting infected, 13 sites got infected.
That's right.
Instead of, 80 files, it was 980 files.
Yes. So. Very difficult. And what I learned there too, that was not just a technical lesson. That's a human factors or a human nature lesson too. Because we go back to some of these files and, fool me once, shame on you, right? I'm that guy. So as soon as it happens, like, no, we can't allow this anymore. We immediately have to change the way we do this. And the resistance from some people, what do you mean I need 2 FTP accounts or 3 FTP accounts? Well, pick one. You know, which one do you want? Do you want to be safe or do you want to be easy?
Right.
So, yeah, but I get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a hard lesson for me to learn as well, because it took me 3 times cleaning up all those files before I figured out exactly what was happening.
Yeah.
Because nobody teaches you, because nobody ever wants to admit that they've been hacked. I am the WordPress person that will tell you I've been hacked. I'll tell you what it took and I will tell you why you need to protect yourself.
It happens. So. Yeah.
It does. I mean, and that's also why 30 days of backups is not enough.
No, it's not enough. That's why
there's these little sleepers in there.
That's right. You don't know what's going on. That's true. And we also do a lot of site monitoring as part of the package. And we're doing a deep inspection on the monitoring for that SEO spam. When you go with Chrome, it looks fine. But if you go as Googlebot, suddenly you're selling knockoff Chinese sunglasses. So you have to look for that stuff. And most people, that'll run for months and months and months. They have no idea what's going on.
Exactly. So, exactly.
Yeah, they're sneaky. Yeah.
Yep. And I'll tell you where where the malware was sitting when I finally found the source. Mm-hmm. Was in the CGI bin.
CGI bin.
Because nobody ever looks there.
No, because you're not using it. It's just
temp. We're not using it.
Yeah, exactly. CGI bin, temp. Temp is a famous place too. No one ever looks at temp. There's not just session files in there.
Yeah, exactly. And
we don't have a temp, so.
Yeah, that was fun. That was hours of cleanup.
There's a reason for that.
But moving right along, because sure. That's a sore spot for me. I get it. What's your proudest WordPress moment?
I'm going to say the proudest WordPress moment that I had was, unfortunately, they don't exist anymore, but we were called in to help a company that was running a very large American football related site. And basically what would happen is the games would get played on Sunday here in the US, and then Monday morning, all the Monday morning quarterbacks would get on ESPN and all the radio talk shows, and someone from ESPN would tweet out a link to their site, and they were well-funded. It was a very big site. They had some big names, and the site would immediately go underwater. So they were hosting with a very well-known host and paying a lot of money for dedicated server, you know? And so the host just kept telling them, you just need more horsepower. Sell them more horsepower. And we took them over here. It took them about a month and a half or 2 months to adjust a little bit so that we could put them on our platform. But, the season opened and they had zero downtime.
Nice.
Zero. So Boomer Esiason would say something about them, you know, here in New York sports radio, and they would get a huge inrush of traffic, and our caching engine would just yawn and serve up the pages at a RAM. And they were so happy.
And that was that's us.
Yes. That was validation that this was a good idea. We actually know what we're doing here. So,
that's fantastic.
That was awesome. Unfortunately, they've since gone out of business, but that was probably my proudest WordPress moment.
Yeah, that's awesome. It wasn't your fault they went out of business, that's for sure.
No, it was financial reasons, but the site worked great.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
If you weren't working, doing what you do now with hosting and web and all that, what's another career that you might like to attempt?
I would make movies.
Yeah, as in star in them, or you direct them, or what would you do?
No one wants to see me on camera, trust me. I would probably direct movies. I have zero experience doing that, so I have no right to say I would make movies, as if you could just walk into Hollywood and start making movies. But I would like
to. That's how it works every time I see a movie.
Yeah. I don't know anything about screenwriting or producing or anything like that. I just want to make really cool shit. So
that's awesome. Sorry. Love it. It's okay. This is I don't think we have a lot of children watching this show.
There you go. Family friendly.
So I think we're okay.
All right, cool.
And, you know, there's like certain number of words per hour that, you know,
it's acceptable. Yeah.
Exactly. What's something on your bucket list?
Oh, my bucket list. I didn't used to have a big bucket list. I have a pretty big bucket list these days, though. I really, really, really want to go to a place on the earth where you can see the Milky Way. Like, you don't know the envy that I have for people who live in those remote areas, and they can look up and see every star that actually is in the sky. So when you're here, Rochester's a well-developed place. You have the same problem that we have. But I'm in the New York metro area. We have nothing but light pollution. So it's like, hey, there's the star. You know, there's no. So I really want to see
I see the moon. Oh, wait, no, that was.
Oh, that's McDonald's parking lot. That's not the moon. So, that is probably the thing I want to do the most as soon as I can. I want to go out somewhere in big sky country or God knows where and see the whole sky.
So I'll tell you what, you and I are both only 4 hours each away from that space.
Yes, that's true.
The Adirondack Mountains
have
a huge national park, and you can see the whole Milky Way up there. So
have you gone out and done it?
When I was a teen, I used to go camping up there a lot. Yeah. So I highly suggest it.
Yeah, I suffer from downstate syndrome where if it's north of Rockland County, we forget that it exists, which is so wrong.
They have cabins too. I won't sleep in a tent anymore. I'm 50 years old and gosh darn it, I deserve a bed.
Yes, tenting is over. Sorry about that. I would sleep in a tent a couple of nights to do that.
Okay. And then your chiropractor would see you the next week.
All right. So I'm going to the Adirondacks. It's a deal. I'm out.
All right. Sounds good. I can't wait to see the pictures.
It's going
to
be great.
Before I get to the last question, I want you to tell me the story of that rainbow picture behind you and those handprints. That's really beautiful.
Oh, the rainbow picture, the handprints.
Yeah.
All of the artwork in my office was, with the exception of one thing, was from my kids. So that's a typical kid bit of artwork, but I love all my kids' artwork. So my daughters made that. I have two girls. They're now 19 and 17. So their hands are much bigger now. But they made that for me many years ago. And it actually was at a time that I, I was involved in some business things that were really difficult, and I was struggling with certain things, and I was not in a good place. And I moved into a new office, and they made me that to hang on the wall. So now that goes with me everywhere.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my kids.
I love that. Give them a shout out. What are their names?
Amelia and Sarah.
Beautiful the names. That's awesome. Yeah. And Amelia means to make better.
Yes. Amelia, right?
And Sarah means princess.
That's exactly right.
So that's wonderful.
And she does not let me forget that.
I bet. That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so second to last question is show us or tell us about one of your hidden talents.
One of my hidden talents. Let's see. I am a musician, like a quiet closet musician, though. So I was like kind of a big deal in the brass world way back when. I played brass instruments. I was a French horn player.
Oh, me too.
See, there you go.
Back in high school.
So yeah, nobody in my life these days really knows about that, but
that's cool.
Yeah, it's a hidden talent. I'm pretty musical, and I play the guitar, but I play the guitar just for me. I don't play out anywhere.
I used to play the guitar. I used to have calluses and everything.
Oh yeah. It's a real, the circle is real.
It is.
I go in streaks.
Yeah. Now I just have calluses from the keyboard.
No, I play like a madman for 2 months, and then I hang it on the wall and I forget for 2 months. So I'm that guy.
Then you got to build up those calluses every time.
Right. Like right now, there's no calluses on my fingers. So I'll hate myself when I pick them up next time.
I'll be like, oh, that hurts.
Oh, I remember.
That's awesome. Yeah. Tell us where we can find you online. Tell us your website and social.
Sure. So you can find us on the website at IMHelix, like IMHelix, HELIX.com. That's the website. And through some ridiculous stroke of fate, we're actually Meet Helix on all socials. So Twitter is Meet Helix, Instagram Meet Helix, Facebook Meet Helix. But you can go to meethelix.com too and you get there. But
oh, awesome.
Yeah, so that's the way. And you know, we think we're the greatest thing since white bread, just no one knows us yet. So come and say hello. We'll be your buddies. And we're funny. So we're worth the follow.
This has been fun.
Hell yeah. I had a good time.
Me too. Anything else you'd like to say before we sign off for the night?
No, I think I'm actually really enjoying listening to the podcast, and good. I like that it's just you hanging out with people that you seem to dig, and it's very entertaining. It's super cool. So
awesome. Yeah,
thank you for having me on. It was great.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I like to say that I have lots of friends that have, you know, signed up to be on the podcast that I've known forever, and I have lots of friends that I'm meeting for the first time.
Yeah, it's all good. So I'm happy to be one of them.
Yeah, it's really good today. And I'm hoping we run into each other at a WordCamp maybe this year or next year for sure.
Maybe I'll come to Rochester.
We would love to see you here.
That'd be great. Thank you, Michelle.
Well, say goodbye to everybody.
Bye everybody. Podcast world.
We'll see you next time. See ya.